104.5 The Zone, 9:18 The Time. The Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Good to have you with us this morning. FourSeasonsGarages.com is their website. From 24/7, we bring in Brad Crawford. We'll talk a little about the quarterbacks with promises to be a stacked NFL draft when we get to it here in a few weeks later on in April, and just kind of how you draft and rate those draft eligible quarterbacks. Brad, what's going on this morning?
Thanks for having me, guys. Long time no talk, and sadly, there's no spring football to discuss.
Yes, that's very true. How are things where you are?
We're doing pretty well here, man. I'm waiting on a newborn any hour now. The due date is actually tomorrow, so we're kind of excited during a pandemic, all things considered.
Yeah. Well, I hope everything will go well for you and your family, for sure. Yeah, congrats, no doubt. Brad, when you look at this quarterback class, how far is Joe Burrow ahead of the others, you think?
I think he's a little bit above Tua. I think if Tua was 100% healthy, as most draft analysts have said, you know, we'd be talking about perhaps Tua going number one. But, you know, I think it's Joe Burrow, one, Tua, two, and then, you know, there's considerable drop-off with, you know, Jordan Love and Justin Herbert probably being my three and four guys.
You know, with the situation we're in and not all the usual analysis and poking and prodding and everything that goes into evaluating these guys, what about teams that are looking at Tua that are going to be in range to get him? How much pause would they have for maybe making that selection, you know, with his health being a big question mark still?
Yeah, you know, this is sort of an unprecedented draft with, you know, the coronavirus pandemic shutting down workouts and team meetings and that sort of thing. You know, I think for a guy like Tua and even Jake Fromm, Jalen Hurts, and Jordan Love too, you know, those four quarterbacks, it could be damaging. You know, Tua's doing everything he can right now to, you know, send out private video to these franchises that are in the mix in the top 10. You know, and I still think it comes down to Miami being the team that mostly wants a Tua Tagovailoa. You know, the Dolphins don't want history to repeat itself. They had a chance, I want to say 12 years ago, to draft Drew Brees somewhere around there. Did not do it because of injury concerns, and now they're in the same boat. And then you look at the picks that Miami has, you know, three first-round picks. They traded away Minka Fitzpatrick and Laremy Tunsil last year to get in that first round. So Miami has been planning this for Tua Tagovailoa for a year or two now, and if they got to trade up to get him, I think they'll do so.
Our guest from 24/7 is Brad Crawford. We talk about quarterbacks in the draft.
Yeah, Brad, I'm interested in why Tua's injuries, and not necessarily his two ankle surgeries. I think you can come back from those playing the SEC, let alone the National Football League. But his hip injury, even though he was A-OK, how do we know that the video that he put out there wasn't from last year and it was a current up-to-date video? If I was an executive and a scout and a GM, I want to validate that this happened last week or so.
You know, that's a fresh take. I never thought that, you know, Tua or his handler, so to speak, could, you know, be putting out an old video. That certainly could be the case. I'm fairly confident that it's a recent video. I think what you'll see probably is Tua maybe going on Instagram Live or Facebook Live in the next few weeks, maybe a private video for teams who can, you know, see him in the flesh and see him working out. I just think for Tua, man, you know, you go back to his injury history, most of the times Tua's gotten hurt, it's been because he has, at times, a refusal to throw the ball away. And at the next level, you know, he's either going to learn to do that or he's going to get hurt again very quickly. So I think whatever team drafts him, you know, they're going to have to kind of hammer down in Tua's head that, you know, despite some of his best throws being on the run and, you know, when the play breaks down and his ability to freelance a bit, you know, he's going to have to learn that sometimes on 3rd and 11, man, it's okay to get out of the pocket, throw it away, and go ahead and punt and save your body.
What's your evaluation of Jake Fromm, who possibly could be around maybe 4th, 5th round for the Titans, possibly, you think?
That's what I'm thinking, too. I think Todd McShay said a few weeks ago that, you know, he kind of sees Fromm as a career backup in the NFL. That's a little bit detrimental to his stock to say things like that. I think Fromm could be a future NFL starter, you know, 5 to 7 years down the road if he continues to develop. But, you know, the biggest weaknesses are they're pretty apparent with Fromm. You know, arm strength's an issue. Sometimes getting the ball out on time has been an issue. But, you know, Fromm has showed his freshman and sophomore years at one of college football's elite programs that when he has elite talent around him at wide receiver and, you know, he has time in the pocket, you know, he's a very accurate quarterback. And I think depending on which NFL team, you know, signs Fromm, it's going to be about scheme fit and kind of personnel fit. So while I don't see Fromm being a starter, you know, within the next few seasons, I think down the road he could certainly be a, you know, a decent NFL quarterback.
We're speaking to Brad Crawford, of course, who writes about college football for 24/7. And Brad, in ranking the quarterbacks, you know, you look further down, and we all know that drafting a quarterback in the later rounds is kind of like buying a lottery ticket. But do you see any sleepers there? You got guys like Steve Montez from Colorado, Anthony Gordon from Washington State, who put up huge numbers. And then you got a guy like Jake Luton from Oregon State, you know, big kid 6'6", who played really well at times this year. And even the kid, the Morgan kid from Florida International. And anybody among those or somebody else that you think, you know, might be, sort of hidden gold late in the draft?
Yeah, you know, Cole McDonald out of Hawaii, a 6'5" guy, has a very strong howitzer-type arm. He probably has a top-five arm in this draft, I would say. Had a decent combine, not great. You know, right now he's probably in that 6-7 round undrafted free agent range. But, I mean, he's a guy who, like a Jamarcus Russell type, is going to wow you with some of that skill set. And obviously he has the size to be a formidable NFL quarterback. But I would see a team, you know, late in that draft that maybe doesn't want to have to battle others to sign him as an undrafted free agent. I'd see a team maybe spending its last pick, 6th or 7th round, on Cole McDonald, a guy who, when he gets to training camp, he's going to look better than, you know, some of the quarterbacks he's competing against on a certain NFL roster.
Talking about the college game, in your estimation, how much of a disadvantage are these new coaches coming in? You know, like Mike Leach, of course, at Mississippi State, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, if we're talking SEC. If there's no spring practice and if there's even a truncated preseason practice, you know, some of these new staffs, I would imagine, could really be behind the eight ball. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I think first-year head coaches, new offensive coordinators at different programs, even grad transfer and new quarterbacks coming in. I mean, we're talking about a installation, you know, process on both sides of the ball that usually, you know, you have all the spring practice to do and kind of determine how you want to go into summer and handle that in fall camp. Now all that's been erased. I think with the SEC and Big Ten and Big 12's recent adoption of, you know, virtual meetings over these next few weeks and kind of lessening the ban on team meetings, I think that's going to help in part. But, you know, there's nothing like seeing players and, you know, what you got on the field in the flesh. And I just think it's going to be very hard, like you mentioned, for these first-year guys to really install something. Like Mike Leach is, you know, transitioning from Washington State to arguably the toughest conference division in college football in the SEC West. And for him to be able to, you know, basically he's going to install the air raid in, what, maybe 45 days this summer if we have college football. So he's definitely climbing a mountain there.
And do you think, or what do you think, with these lack of face-to-face contacts between coaches and recruits, how do you think that's going to affect the early signing period?
I think we're going to have to move it a little bit. I think you're going to see the recruiting calendar. You know, it's already changed a bit by the NCAA, but it's going to change even more. You know, we still, this is such a fluid moment right now for college football. You know, every week we're getting new information, new death numbers, I mean, spread numbers of this coronavirus. So I think right now, no doubt, college football Power 5 head coaches are worried about recruiting, but recruiting's on the back burner right now, man. They're just worried about maybe getting on the field and having an actual 2020 season.
You think a lot of people are underestimating the fact that students might still be online this fall? and the wisdom of trying to put athletes together, either in a competitive situation, a locker room situation, you know, when, you know, we still really haven't, you know, seen the vaccine yet.
Yeah, you know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, what's kind of the stop date for college football? You know, what's the date this summer where, you know, we're going to know if we're going to have our season or not? If you would have asked me last week, I would have said May 1st. And now after President Trump has extended the stay-at-home thing till, I think, through April, I'm looking at June 1st, man, being the day where we're going to know whether or not we're going to have a season or not. Because, you know, you can't put players on the field for the first time in basically 5 months on August 1st and expect them in 3 weeks to be in game shape. You know, I'm not saying a lot of these guys aren't taking care of their bodies this spring and, you know, getting sent, you know, health plans by their coaches and nutrition staff. But, I mean, it's going to be a lot to ask. You're talking about player safety. I think we have a better shot this fall of seeing NFL football than college football, just because the NFL has the ability to, you know, schedule games on a different continent or you know, somewhere else that this disease has already went through and then passed. So these next couple of weeks are going to be crucial for college football as, you know, the powers that be discuss, you know, how they're going to handle this virus and if it's feasible to have a season or not.
Hey, Brad, thank you for the time. All the best to you and your family with the new edition coming. We appreciate it this morning.
Thanks, guys.